Okay, it's 8:45. We will call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise. Pledge allegiance with us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is a general agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held November 16th. Approve all claims through November 30th in the amount of $646,072.63. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved permit 891 for Laverne Niemeyer to place buried power line Northwest Quarter 8, Northwest Quarter 9, Blakely Township. Approved permit 892 and 893 utility permit for Roars Machinery to install power line in Northeast Quarter 1, Blue Springs Township, Southwest Quarter 31, Sherman Township, Southeast Quarter 35, Rockford, Northeast Quarter 2, Blue Springs Township.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Just make a note. Claims on number three there, the amount, there was a transfer to Road and Bridge for operations. Is that $350?
And that's standard. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Lieutenant Colonel Randy Kratz, presentation regarding Civil Air Patrol. Please, the podium, name and address for the record.
All right, my name is Randy Kratz. That's K-R-A-A-T-Z. My address is 613 North 11th Street, right here in Beatrice. Just moved here. I'm really enjoying the this area. Well, I was asked here today by Supervisor Bauman to come and speak to you guys about the Civil Air Patrol. What we are is we're a federally mandated nonprofit organization on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, we are the official auxiliary of the United States Air Force, as you can see by the uniform that I'm wearing. We have a lot of different job functions, but I'm going to speak to you about three primary job functions that were mandated by the United States Air Force and by our Congress. First off is cadet programs. And I'm excited to tell you that we're bringing a unit of Civil Air Patrol right here to Beatrice, Gage County. It's been 10 years in the making. Of course, when you start looking at where we're going to place units, you start looking at social demographics, you start looking at the economic demographics, start looking at what kind of programs we could actually sustain here. And for 10 years, we've been working on getting a unit down here. And unfortunately, those demographics just weren't hitting right. Well, unfortunately, there's been a downturn here in Gage County, and we all can agree to that. We've been talking about it. I heard you speaking about it just beforehand. And unfortunately, one of the first things that gets cut on any budget is youth programs. Can we all agree to that? Well, I'm excited to bring you a youth program. It's a youth program that's based on the philosophy of leadership, teamwork, character building, and civil service. What I mean by civil service, I'm talking actually volunteer service, going out into the community and doing things, being a part of the community, learning what it means to be an actual citizen. You know, the sheriff and I were just speaking not too much, just a couple minutes ago, about how we've turned into a society of everybody gets a ribbon. Well, the great thing about our program is that they actually have to work for what they get. They have to strive. It's not just a participation thing. They all actually get awards based on their achievements. And for all of us here, there are generations past, that's a big deal. Being able to look at yourself in the mirror and feel pride in what you do, it's a huge thing. Well, that's one of the fundamental core basis of our program. The United States military has looked at us to perform three missions, like I said. Cadet programs is one of them. We've already spoke about that. Aerospace education is the second one. Neat thing about how our aerospace education works is there's an internal and an external aerospace education program. The internal is for all of our members. The cadets, as they come in, are going to be required to learn about aerospace. Now, you might think to yourself, well, in Gage County, that's not such a big deal, aerospace. Absolutely it is. We have our own airport. We have people here that are pilots. They're enthusiasts. I'm sure if I was to ask who's ever flown in an airplane, It's an interesting thing to be able to bring to these kids something that we don't have here. Aerospace education is one of those things. We don't have a Boeing plant sitting outside the door. We don't have a Cessna plant sitting outside the door. But we do have aerospace enthusiasts right here in our own community. And being able to bring those community members in and let them speak with our youth and get those kids excited and jazzed up. You never know who's going to be the next fighter pilot, the next airline pilot. Heck, the next guy that's going to be working on the airplanes right out here in Beatrice. Third thing is emergency services. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, guys. This is where we provide a service to you. All right. In the packets that I gave you, you'll see all these things dictated back out again. But Nebraska Wing has impacted Gage County throughout the years. We've been down here. I know the Hallam tornado didn't really hit here in Gage County so much, but there were parts of it affected. We were there for 2 weeks. Damage assessment, disaster relief. When I say the word NEMA, I can look at the sheriff, and the sheriff's going to go, yeah, I know exactly what NEMA is. We work very closely with NEMA. The Civil Air Patrol in the state of Nebraska is funded by the Department of Military. The Adjutant General and the governor decide how much money that we're going to get on our budget, and it trickles down. So as we come here and we look at what we can establish for you, I'm looking at being able to give you 20 highly motivated individuals that are already decided to be a part of our agency and our organization. It's about a 60-40 split between adult members and cadet members. So here in the next few months, you're going to start seeing the cadets out there wearing their uniforms, providing community service, really getting people jazzed up, getting them excited about serving the community here. You know, how often do you see a 16-year-old that's excited about going down and cleaning one of the parks? Heck, I got a 14-year-old, and until the day I told him that he gets to wear a uniform and go do it, he wasn't excited about it, I'm telling you. But it's a good thing. And the nice thing about it is that I'm not up here asking you for any money. I'm not up here asking you for anything more than understand that this has been 10 years in the making. Us, as the Civil Air Patrol, are proud to come down here to Beatrice. All we're looking for is your support when we work within the community. Let's talk a little quick about emergency services. I know I kind of touched on it once. With the emergency services, we bring to par about 600 highly trained individuals at any given time. Right now in the state of Nebraska, we have 5 aircraft. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when I tell you I can get 5 aircraft here within inside about 2 hours, they can provide for search and rescue or search and recovery. Being able to provide an aerial asset to get eyes up in the air, looking on the ground for anything that the sheriff might be looking for, your emergency manager might need damage assessment. I can provide you air assets and ground assets that can give you real-time feed, sometimes video feed, secondary, within seconds of what we see, you see, right to their command posts. You know, let's talk about maybe the blue decides that it's going to overflow. It's possible, right? I can provide you ground and air assets that can bring to bear actual real-time imagery of what's happening right there. That's pretty special when you really start thinking about it. There's quite a few other things, and I don't want to take too much of your time because I know I was only allotted about 5 minutes. But the most important thing that I wanted to share with you today is that we're excited as a Nebraska Wing to be able to come down here to the Beatrice. We're excited that she already have 20 members from the county. That includes Wymore, and we're looking at a couple people from Cortland that are coming down, and right here in Beatrice, that are excited to be a part of this, and we're excited to bring this program to you. And we look forward to having more conversations with you, and I'm sure each and every one of you are going to have specific questions for me, especially you read over some of the material that I've given you, and my door is always open, my phone number is available. So, sir, I appreciate it. I'd take any questions real quick if there's any that...
I'll just make a comment as I visit with Lieutenant Colonel Kratz here. We will have to integrate this and have conversations with our emergency management director and exactly once this gets going, how that works so that we can work together at things. So I think it's a wonderful program, and I applaud you for getting that going, and I'm thankful to the people in the community that have jumped on
right.
board.
Now, the great thing about it is we're in what I call the walk, crawl, run phase, and we were running real quick to get the program established. Now that we've gotten established, I'm within a month of obtaining the charter from the Air Force. And as soon as the charter comes, and we're going to start into the walk phase where we start getting everybody trained and whatnot. I would say within about 4 to 5 months, I will start having people actually emergency services trained at the very beginning of the pre-cuffed, where we'll actually be able to start providing services as you need. The great thing about it is that once there is a unit down here, that we can start bringing to bear the full force of the CAP. Not saying that if something was to happen here now, you wouldn't have that. I'm just saying that it makes it a little easier when we have people that are here that can first respond, and then the other forces can bring their way in. Something that's kind of interesting about Beatrice, something that we at Nebraska Wing had looked at. I used to be the vice commander of Nebraska Wing, the second in charge. And one thing that we did is on the demographic looks, there is no other CAP unit south of Lincoln. The closest one that we have would be Junction City, Kansas. So there's a huge bridge gap there. The closest unit we have to the west of us, exactly where we sit geographically, is St. Joe, Missouri. Closest one to the east, excuse me, to the west, is going to be Grand Island. So, you know, when we start looking at our own operations, it just makes sense to bring something here. It just makes sense to get the folks in this community excited and trained to be able to help provide the Nebraska and part of, you know, north central Kansas, the kind of services that we provide. So we appreciate y'all allowing us the chance to come down here, and we hope to very much to become part of your guys' community. After all, we are the citizens of your community that are performing these tasks. So I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, got a quick question. Right. Do you have a location, or where are you going to be based out of with this?
Absolutely, yes. Matter of fact, the Army National Guard here has provided us part of their facility, which is phenomenal. By mandate, they have to work with us, but the folks over there, they did more than work with us. They gave us more than I could have ever dreamed of. We have our own office. We have facilities that are there. We have access to all the training systems that they have. So stepping in, before we're even a formal unit, we have actually better facilities than the Lincoln unit that's based at the Lincoln Guard Base. So one more thing that Beatrice is stepping up and Gage County is doing for us, it's just amazing what these guys are doing. Of course, you know that the citizen soldiers out there are from this community. So, you know, it really excites me to see them getting involved with us as much as they are. And it really makes it really cool when I start looking at some of these high school and junior high kids that are coming in that are starting to work with us. Now, one thing I failed to mention is that the age range that we're dealing with kids is from 12 to 21. So it's a fairly large demographic. And the neat part about it is the way that the system's built is those folks, it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're a leader, it starts to shine through. And you're given those responsibilities and those taskings. So, you know, it's a neat program. As soon as we start to get things kind of built up and running, I'd invite all of you to come down and take a peek and see what we got going on. We meet Tuesday evenings down at the Armory from 7 to 9 p.m.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Jack, can you do it in about 3 minutes? We got a public hearing at 9 if you want to wait and do it afterwards. Okay. Approve or disapprove resolution extending lease agreement for additional period of 15 years between the city of Wymore and the county of Gage for ground upon which a communication tower is situated.
11-40.
I make a motion to approve the resolution.
11-40. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Can we have our Mark maybe visit briefly about that? Just
a few years ago, we were able to acquire the 420-foot guided tower in Blue Springs from, I think it was Galaxy Cable at that time, and that tower is located in Blue Springs on Wymore City property. It's their well field there. So Galaxy no longer needed the tower. They were going to take the tower down. We acquired that tower for a dollar, which today would cost about $200 and some thousand dollars to put that tower up. We currently have communications on there for the southern part of the county and backup communications for the rest of the county. And it, like I said, that's where we just currently put up a new fence. Recently, we put that up to protect that. Yesterday, they went down and relit the tower, so it's a used tower, but it's in pretty good shape yet. And it's, like I said, it's on city property. That's why we have to have the agreement with the city of Wymore.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. It is 9 o'clock. We have a public hearing to support and or opposition to Gage County being designated as a livestock-friendly county. Need a motion to open a public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. Do we have a sign-in sheet for those that want to?
What do we do with people in the hall? Do we try and get some of them in here? There's three or four.
They want to. SCC's going to have to
wait. We got
wait.
Some more chairs.
Okay.
They want to stand.
Lisa, do you want to
briefly
touch a little bit
why we're here?
Why we're here. For the record, my name is Lisa Wigand, and I am here on behalf of the Gidge County Planning and Zoning Commission. As I presented to you the last time we researched at length, the commission did, and we presented our findings then. I have given you copies of the actual application, the annual report. There's also a question and answer summary that was helpful as we prepared our research and so forth. And there's also an interview summary in there in the form of a spreadsheet that was helped prepare by Jeff Jensby with the Chamber of Commerce, who talked to a lot of the counties also about how they went about it and the things that they ran into. As far as the commission is concerned, the public input at our meeting showed full support to move forward, and we didn't have any opposition on the program whatsoever. We all know that agriculture is a very valuable resource for our county, and so this program offers us a new way to market and promote agriculture in Gage County. What it does is it opens the doors in those beginning stages of promoting agriculture and marketing it, where developers may look elsewhere as they're in the development stages. As we chatted before, it does not change any of our current zoning regulations or add any leniency whatsoever in setback requirements and so forth, or the procedures, in fact, that we have in place as far as the special hearings that are required based upon the size of operation that they want to bring in for new production. Steve Martin is here for the Department of Agriculture here today to answer any questions, and also I will be here to answer any questions if you have on regulations. So.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have quite a few that have signed up to speak. As is normal for public hearings, you will be allowed about three to 4 minutes to say what you need to say. And the very first one up is Jeff Jensby.
Thank you, Rex.
Name and address for the record.
Okay. My name is Jeff Jensby, 31650 U.S. Highway 77, Beatrice, Nebraska. And I come here today to the public hearing as chair of our Chamber Ag Committee here in Gage County. And this idea was evolved at a 7 o'clock in the morning breakfast more than several months ago. Our goal really as a committee is to promote and support agriculture development in Gage County, and this is a part of that. We've had a lot of discussions about the livestock industry, and as you know, there are many issues really in our state politically that may be coming to bear in the livestock industry, but we're going to take the proactive approach and talk about the benefits of a livestock-friendly designation. And number one, and that's to have the conversation. And I know, you know, Myron, I mean, we know each other from the agriculture world and several of you here, but we've had a lot of conversations about the livestock industry in this process. So, Rex, we've almost already started to accomplish, which it's not, there's never an end to it, to have the conversation about sustainable livestock production, the responsibility that we producers take in that, and all of those issues. We also think it's important to affirm the livestock industry in our county. As you well know or may not know, you know, with grain prices and all of the economics issues there, you know, that's not been a simple place to be. But it's where we lie in the world, really. We are at the western edge where all the resources pull and come together for livestock production, so that And a lot of our meat is exported overseas. So economic development is very important here as well. I did call and contact several of the other counties, and you've got that spreadsheet of information, I believe. I just visited with counties in Adams, Fox Butte, Garden, Jefferson, Keith, Wayne, Webster, and like I said, Steve Martin is also here with the Nebraska Department of Agriculture if you have any other questions. The last issue that came through those interviews really was economic development. Those counties said we passed this livestock friendly designation for our county, not only to affirm our producers and what they do, but also as a future long-term economic development piece. So in summing it up, I hope that you will support the designation of Gage County as a livestock-friendly county, and voting in that not only to affirm our producers, but also as a long-term economic development piece. And I thank you.
Thank you. Shane Meyer.
Morning. My name is Shane Meyer, 58035 Kelly Street from Diller. I do live in Jefferson County, 2 miles outside of Gage County, but I work every day in Gage County. I'm the supervisor for Plymouth Ag Group, which is a 2500 South farrowing unit just southwest of Beatrice here, and I'm the president-elect of the Nebraska Pork Producers. My goal here today is on behalf of the pork industry. We feel like this is a huge support for livestock. We feel that livestock and agriculture is the heart of Nebraska, Gage County, Jefferson County. From my standpoint, the thing that you know, it may seem very simple, but there's a sign on the county line going to Jefferson County, and every day when I go home, I see that sign. But when I come to work every morning, I don't. And so does that mean that Jefferson County supports what I do every day more than Gage County? I don't think so. Yeah, livestock is a huge, huge important role in corn, soybeans, and just agriculture in general. If you look at the numbers, and I don't have specifics, but, you know, the big push was to put up ethanol plants, and livestock create about 4 to 5 times more jobs for the same amount of usage as ethanol does. And so as far as economic development, keeping kids wanting to come back to our county, this area, livestock plays a huge role in that. So I'm just here to hope that you all vote yes in passing this.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions?
Thank you. Jim Stanishek.
Good morning. Have a little handout here I'd like to give you.
Jim, could we get a name and address?
Jim Stanishek, 404 John Street, Odell, and I'm a past member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Founding member, correct?
Founding.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
The report that I gave you is some stuff that I got off the internet, and I'm assuming that the stuff is still pretty current. The regulations in Gage County have not changed. Where I didn't have a copy of the current ones, so if there is, has been a change, that's the basis of what I found anyway. So. Livestock-friendly designation is the legislation was LB 754, passed in 2003 by the legislature. It did two main things, and if you look on page, or the first or second page I have there, the legislative bill adopted in 2003 has two main provisions, establishing the livestock-friendly county designation program within the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, and also changing the county livestock zoning permit process. So my concern is not with we should expand livestock in Gage County. It deals with the process and the zoning regulations that I see have to be changed in order to comply with LB 754. Currently, if a special use application is submitted, it's submitted in writing to the county administrator, this then passed on to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which has a public hearing, and a recommendation is sent to the Board of Supervisors within 30 days, which they have a public hearing, and then a decision is made that way. That's the current way. People are notified in the county if something is going to be happening by mail. Also, signs are put out that the planning and zoning possibility of change in the status of the property. So there is an opportunity here for people to be notified that something is going to be happening. And also, there's going to be an opportunity for people to have input in these public hearings before the planning and zoning and also before the county board like we're doing today. Under LB 754, I don't see that as a part of the process. I think on the next page I have the zoning permits. If the county planning and zoning administrator approves a special use permit, then it goes to the DEQ, and if they approve it, then there's pretty much done, and there's been very little input by either the public or the neighbors or other interested parties in the process. Another thing that concerns me on this is that a change in the setback requirements under LB 754. I have a copy of the thing of the current setback requirements. Once again, that's what I picked off of the the internet and printed it out. And you can see that for 1,000 animal units, and by the way, on the last page, I put a piece of a definition of what the animal units are. And so you can see what I'm talking about a little bit, or you can go back and compare it anyway. We have a setback, and if for 1,000 animal units, you would be a half a mile. For 5,000 animal units, up to 10,000 would be a mile. But if you look at, I believe to be part of the, or is part of the law, on the next page, you would see that the animal units and the distance setback are about half of what we have currently in Gage County. And that's on page 6 down at the bottom. Shows 1,000 animal units at a quarter of a mile, 5,000 animal units at 3/8 of a mile. And I don't feel that if we have to adjust our zoning requirements to draw back this, not necessarily the best for the county. Also part of the regulation was a part of the law that said the designation of any county or counties as a livestock-friendly county shall not be an indication, nor shall it suggest that any county does not seek or obtain such a designation is not friendly to livestock production. So just because we don't designate Gage County as a livestock-friendly county does not mean that we are not a livestock-friendly county. It just, and that's part of the law, I believe, on that. Now, planning and zoning reviewed this issue back in about 2005 or 2006. And the reason, if I recall, the reason that we did not approve it, the county board did not approve it, dealt with the fact that we lost local control. And when you don't have an opportunity for a public hearing and input from the people in the community, that's why it was passed at that time. That why it was not passed at that time. Also, only 16 or 19 counties out of 93 have approved this, and that tells me a little something as well that maybe the local control is still an issue. So. Any questions you might have for me?
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Calvin Carey.
Let me pass on that. I'll talk a little bit later. I think a lot of the
issues. You're getting your shot now if you want it. Okay. Paul Hay.
Paul Hay is 101 Sugar Street here in Beatrice. I speak on behalf of being an extension educator with the University of Nebraska and also being on the Ag Business Committee of the Chamber of Commerce. Just want to say as an extension agent that this in no way, I think, changes zoning regulations. This hangs the shingle on the county and says, hey, look at us. And as we're trying to redo our economic development, that's kind of an important thing to get people from around the country that might consider locating here. They have to go through all the requirements, both of our zoning and the Nebraska DEQ and federal requirements. And those of you in livestock know, you're familiar with those. You know what they are and what you have to do, and it's a challenge in that regard. Just want to say on behalf of Extension that I have agreed to work with the Zoning Committee, not only on the application process, would then subsequently have to be approved, but also annual reporting requirements. Thank you. Any questions?
Steve Martin.
Good morning. Steve Martin, Nebraska Department of Agriculture. It's Steve Martin, 25255 South 54th Street, First, Nebraska. I am the representative for the Livestock Friendly County Program here in Nebraska and have been working with it for about 4 years. Some of the points I would like to just address real quickly is that the Livestock Friendly County Program does not deal with zoning. It is a marketing program. And if I could draw a parallel to it, I would look at the Tree City USA through the Arbor Day Foundation. They've got a certain set of requirements that a city has to meet in order to be designated as a Tree City town. And so they're going to come in, they're going to do a checklist and look at this, this, and this, and then make a determination that, yes, you are or you did meet those guidelines. So livestock-friendly county is sort of the same thing in that there's a checklist of things that we're going to look at in your application, and those are things like consistency in zoning, a process that a producer is going to be able to look at and say, if I meet these requirements, then I will be able to be zoned. I think in the past, one of the issues that has run into problems or with producers is that they think they've met all the requirements only to come into a meeting and find out that, you know, something personal affected their application rather than something that was specific. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at consistency. We're looking at, does the county meet and follow all the DEQ regulations? We don't advocate putting livestock where livestock should not go. Setback distances that are in the livestock county regulations, those came from several of the counties that were zoned at the time that the regulations were passed. And it was kind of, how do we get our hands around setback distances? So we polled a bunch of the counties and we took an average. That number is a suggestion, and it even says that in the regulations. It is a suggested number. And then after that, there are several points. I think there's 5 or 6 points that allow for differences in that. And part of it is geographic. Part of it is population-based. Lots of different things that allow for that setback to be different. For example, Sheridan County, their setback for, I think it's anything over about 100 animal units is 4 miles, and they're designated livestock friendly. Now, when going through their application, and you look at why did they set it that way, they don't have a large population base, so they have a lot of space where they can put livestock away from people and keeps everybody happy. So that's what the Livestock Friendly County program is really about. It's about marketing your county to the livestock industry, not just animals, but also all the support industries, gates, vets, feed companies, ethanol plants, all those types of things, and being able to say that you are looking for economic development. So that's kind of, I guess, a short wrap-up.
I have three questions.
Yes.
What is your title with the state?
I am an ag promotion coordinator.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this, you've already answered these, but these are the hot questions.
Okay.
Just so there is clarification for everyone along, does the county give up zoning authority and local control by participating in livestock friendly?
No. This statute and the regulations do not deal with zoning or, excuse me, local control.
Okay. Two, can my county be designated livestock friendly if it has setbacks that are different, which we do have, that are different than what livestock friendly suggests?
Yes, your county can be designated even if your setback difference distances are different than the regulation recommendations, and that's based on the ability to evaluate every county as an individual.
Okay. The zoning conditions established by the county will not be met by the applicant. Are we the ultimate say on the permit, or is the Department of Ag the ultimate say?
This regulation gives us no power over zoning. We don't. The Department of Ag has nothing to say about zoning.
Any other questions? Matt, then
and
Myron.
Really what we're, after the public hearing, what we'll be voting on is just to submit the application. Through the review process, if there's things that aren't met, they may make recommendations, and we can come back and say, nope, sorry, thank you, we're not going to change anything. We're going to continue to do the things the way we're going to. But today, in voting for this, later, we don't make the designation. We're just voting to fill out the application to the state to have them do an evaluation to see if we're livestock friendly.
Yes, and if I'm the first person that will receive that application and review it, and I may call back and ask for clarification on some things. Everything may be clear, and we'll cruise right through and approve the application for designation. Another part of the regulation that's in there that hasn't been addressed, I guess, is that this is a voluntary program for the county, and if the county would like to remove itself from the program at any time, you simply do basically the same process. You have your public hearing, you discuss it, you vote, and if you vote to remove yourself from the program, you're out. It's still locally controlled.
Myron.
Well, you answered part of it. Outline the steps it takes for the – you said you're the first one to review it and then go on from there. Who does what or how does it all?
After me, it will go to the assistant director and the director, and if they choose to bring anybody else in to look at an application, that's kind of their choice, but that's the ultimate decision right there with those two.
So ultimately, the Nebraska Department of Ag – Director Eibach or whatever has the final say then?
Yes. Yes.
I do have one other question, and I know Mr. Stanishek was one of the founding members of PNZ. The PNZ in the past is considered Gage County very livestock friendly. That was the intention of it all along. Touch on why we should go into the livestock friendly again, even though you have, other people have, just so there's clarification of the protection that we have.
Sure. Again, it's a marketing program, and so when you're considering economic development, one of the points about livestock-friendly county program is that it's a way for you to get your name out there, more or less, and let other people know that this is a good place for the livestock industry, not just animals, but, again, all the entire industry. Without going through those types of steps and applying for livestock friendly, it's difficult for anybody to know, that Gage County would be a good place to locate our business or a good place to expand our business. So in terms of economic development, applying for and receiving that designation, it tells your local businesses that, yes, this is a viable part of our economic the activity in this county, and we're going to support it. It helps them to make decisions. Some of them may be looking at expanding their business, bringing on a partner, or doing something like that, but they're not sure, is this the right place for me? Well, doing that or applying for that designation and receiving that kind of gives them that stamp of approval that, yes, this is going to be a good place for my business for a long time in the future, kind of a vote of confidence. As far as attracting outside businesses, it's the same thing. They know that this is going to be a place that is going to be open to their business, granted that they meet all your zoning regulations and all the DEQ regulations. Again, we have no authority over local zoning, and we don't have any authority over what the DEQ has to say about excuse me, about how they build their facility. So applying for and receiving the designation is to boost economic activity.
Thank you. Thanks. Scott Spilker. Yes.
Hi, I'm Scott Spilker, 104 West Hickory Road. I would like to urge the county to apply for this livestock-friendly designation. I just have a couple of points that I don't think have been brought up yet. I appreciate Mr. Martin's comments there, and I think it's important to market our county to the livestock industry. Also, I think it's important to support us current producers, such as myself. Mr. Stanicek mentioned, you know, having the neighbors, you know, being a good neighbor is important in the livestock business. Well, as the hospitals come out here about three-quarters of a mile from our operation or maybe less, I know a little bit something about having to be a good neighbor. And I think, you know, being in the business, it's all kind of about relationships. You have to be open with your neighbors. You know, if they have a complaint, you know, we have to listen to them. There's new technology that's coming on board as far as biofilters to deal with smell. Manure injection is something that is coming, you know, to where we can be good neighbors and all, you know, also raise livestock, of course, within the setbacks. Just a couple of points about how livestock is important to Nebraska. If Colfax County is our top livestock producing county, and if you walk down Main Street, West Point, Nebraska, you see it's a thriving community. The livestock producers spend a lot of money in their local communities, partly because we don't have time to go to Kansas City to shop because we have to take care of our livestock. So we spend money in the local communities. And then a comment was made about the ethanol plant. That's something I think is great for the county. We can use the co-product in the hog business and in the swine or in the cattle business. We can feed those co-products and add value to that. And those are the points I wanted to make. I would urge you to please apply for this designation.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay. Lisa, any more sign-up sheets?
I just passed around some. I know you have a lot of producers here, but I don't know what they...
That is it on the sign-up sheets.
On the sign-up sheet, okay.
Dave, you have another one, Davey?
Did everybody sign that needed to?
No. Okay. Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve closing the public hearing. We need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution asking the Nebraska Department of Ag to designate the county as a livestock-friendly county.
I would move.
Moved by Byers, 11-41, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Jack Huck, you're up. Southeast Community College annual report. While we have all these producers in here, maybe you can talk about your ag department. No, I'm going to we'll close
they
it.
All leaving?
Sorry.
Good morning. My name is Jack Huck. I'm president of Southeast Community College. Business address would be 301 South 68th Street in Lincoln. And joining me is Bob Morgan, and I'll let Bob give you his address.
Business address 4771 West Scott Road here in Beatrice.
Thank you for allowing us a few moments to be with you today. I did bring two handouts with me today that I want to cover some pieces of with you. One is our annual placement report, and the other one is a small pocket-sized fold-out. Which is our annual report. Actually, the pocket-sized fold-out serves two purposes. It's kind of like a map. You unfold it, and it ends up being something that looks this long. And the test is, can you put it back together after I'm done talking to you about some of the components of it? My guess is that you will all pass with flying colors. If we take a quick look at the pocket guide, at the annual report, we've tried to capture some of the highlights of our past year for you. And starting on the left-hand side, as you fold it out there, there's an enrollment graph for you that tells you about our enrollment for the past 10 years. And you can see the last 4 or 5 years, we've been on a fairly steep incline in terms of increasing enrollment at all of our locations, of course, including the campus here in Beatrice. And that's something we're very pleased about. That, I will tell you, that as we look at that phenomenon for this year, in our fall term that started in early October, we're finding enrollments are leveling off this year. And that's really true for higher education institutions across the state of Nebraska. There are a couple of reasons for that, and actually goes beyond Nebraska. Even nationwide is experiencing a similar phenomenon. One of the reasons for that is that as we've gone through the downturn in the economy the last few years, rough economies send people back to school for additional training. They're either looking for new career fields or to upgrade themselves in current career fields. As the economy starts to turn around a little bit, and thankfully I think we're starting to see that, we'll start to see those enrollment increases dissipate somewhat. So that adds to the leveling that I think we're going to see for the next few years here. The other thing that adds to that leveling phenomenon in enrollment is that in the state of Nebraska, we are in the midst of an enrollment decline in terms of high school graduates. So if you look at the number of high school graduates coming out of our high schools across the state, we're actually in the midst of a dip right now, and that dip's going to last about another 4 or 5 years before we see increasing high school graduation rates again. So those two phenomena, I think, are going to kind of lead to a leveling of enrollment as we look at the near term. But there are some very positive things that continue to work on our behalf, and I'll try and touch on some of those in some of my other comments. You talked earlier about property tax. There's a graph there that gives you some history of our property tax. You can see over the last 7 years, we've been in that 6 to 7 cent range in terms of our property tax levy. We have the authority to go to 10.25, but we have been able to keep that down in that 6 to 7 cent range. And of course, this year, we certified to you at the 6.29 level. Expenditures and revenue, the two pie graphs on the second panel there, just a little bit about where our money comes from and where our money goes. On the expenditure side, you can see in our general fund budget we're about $72 million. About 82% of our money is spent on salaries and benefits. Much like county government, we are a people-intensive organization, and paying salaries and benefits comprises the major portion of our budget. We spend about 13% on operating expenses, as you can see, and then about 3.5% on equipment. And keeping up with new equipment is an important factor for us so that we stay on the cutting edge of technology for our career training programs. Where does our revenue come from? You can see by the pie chart right below that. About a third of our money comes from state aid appropriated by the legislature. About a third of our money comes from tuition that students pay. And about a third of our money comes from property taxes. And that balance, that three-legged stool, has been a very, very solid revenue source for us for many years now. And we anticipate that to create a solid financial base as we move into the future. Programs of study are listed there for you. There are more than 50 in our career and technical side now. Over the last year, we've added a couple of new ones. We opened a new energy generation program at our Milford campus that deals with all kinds of energy generation, solar, wind, traditional, nuclear. And we really did that at the behest of people in the energy industry who worked with us on putting together a curriculum that hopefully will help supply a workforce for the energy field for the future. Graduate information is captured there for you in a couple of pie charts. You can see that last year we had 1,428 career and technical grads from our career programs. Of those 1,428, 93% of them either found jobs in their career field or continued their education in that field. And then we had about 200 academic transfer graduates. And of those students who are doing the first 2 years of their four-year degree with us, 98.5% of them either continue their education or went on to a career field associated with their field of study as they left us. And I'll digress for just a moment at this point as we talk about our graduate information. I did give you also a copy of our annual placement report, and I'm not going to go through this in any detail with you at all, but if you ever get the chance to take a few moments and look at it, I think you will appreciate seeing the information in here. We are still the only higher education institution in the state of Nebraska that tracks every graduate every year. We know where they went to work or where they went to school. We know the wage levels that they earned. We know the kinds of jobs they went into. And this report gives you that kind of information. So that if you look very quickly on page one, which has the state map and the regional map for you, you can see that the highlighted counties there, those are our students who stay in our 15-county SCC district. You can see that most of our graduates not only stay in the state of Nebraska by the regional map there, but most of our graduates stay in southeast Nebraska. And that's something that we continue to be very, very proud of. At some point, if you have a chance and flip to the next page in the booklet, you find a chart that looks like this. And the chart is the one that really tracks for you every program of study, every graduate. Did they find a job in their field? What was the wage level that they experienced as they found those jobs, et cetera? And again, we just think this is tremendous consumer information for potential students, parents, et cetera. But we also think it serves as great information in other situations, for instance, for you all in an economic development sense. With your interest in economic development for Gage County, for you to know about the number of graduates available, the fields they're in, the kind of wages that they're experiencing and so on, can be very helpful information as you consider economic development opportunities related to Beatrice and Gage County. The rest of the book goes on a program-by-program basis and tells you in each field the kinds of job titles that the students obtained when they left us, and gives you information about the companies where they went to work. So again, great resource information for you when you have the opportunity to study and to use that further. I think a couple of other things I want to briefly hit for you on the backside of the annual report. There's a little orange chart about tuition and fees. We continue to believe that access for students to higher education continues to be an extremely important factor for students and their families. And as you can see, annual costs for us are about $2,340 for tuition and fees compared to a public four-year school here in Nebraska, State College's university system at about $6,500. And then, of course, compared to private school scenarios where the cost is now very nearly $20,000 a year. So we continue to believe that affordability is going to be a big issue for us, a very important positive issue. And when you add affordability to the value proposition, that is the great education and the great experience and placement rates that students have with us, we think it makes a valuable investment, and we see more and more students and their families making those kinds of choices. The other thing I'll touch on just briefly, in about the center of that backside, it talks a little bit about our entrepreneurship center. Entrepreneurship has been a very important issue for us in that we sincerely believe in our 15-county district that entrepreneurship, growing your own small businesses in rural Nebraska, is of vital importance to the future economy of the state of Nebraska. We have an entrepreneurship center in Lincoln that's been very successful for us. Part of their role is to give our current students the ability to add skills to their career field so that student who says to us, you know, I graduated in the auto body technology program, or I'm planning to graduate in the auto body technology program, and what I want to do with my life is I want to go to work in an auto body shop for the next 3 years, but after those 3 years are done, I want to move back home to Beatrice, Nebraska, and I want to open my own auto body shop in Beatrice, Nebraska. What they can get through our entrepreneurship coursework then is the ability to put those wheels in motion. They'll actually leave that experience, with a business plan in hand, with the ability to be ready to go to their local financial institution with that business plan. And if they do get to that point 3 years down the road where they're ready to do that, they can come back home and they can set up those small businesses and they can thrive, hopefully, under those conditions. In addition to that, we also have an incubation effort as a part of our Entrepreneurship Center in Lincoln where we incubate new business startups. And we have just been selected by the American Association of Community Colleges to be one of 11 community colleges nationwide who are going to develop a model program for what we're calling virtual incubation. And the idea of virtual incubation is to make the incubator experience available through electronic means, primarily, throughout rural America. And so as one of those 11 participating colleges in creating the model, we hope to bring not only to Gage County, but to all of our 15 counties as quickly as possible, the opportunity to have the entrepreneurship incubation experiences as a part of the future for our district also. So those are some of the highlights for the college overall. I want Bob to just spend a couple of minutes with you about locally what we're thinking about and what's happening here in Beatrice, and then we'll be happy to take any questions or get out of your way, whichever you prefer.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Enrollment has been strong on the Beatrice campus. Summer and fall enrollments look really great. I will tell you the ag program is growing and is very strong. It's kind of one of the pride and joys of the Beatrice campus as well as the other programs. We continue to try to give our students, whether they're in the agricultural program, the arts and sciences program, business, or the pharmacy tech program, which is one of our newest ones, the highest quality education we can. We're doing, I think, a very good job. We've got a dedicated staff, and we continue to grow. And I guess just from my standpoint to let you know, we're also taking the opportunity this summer, Fort Hall, which is the ag program's building, we're going to spend a major renovation on the heating and air conditioning in there to bring that up to speed. And we continue to grow and have some enhancements on the campus, and we're just very glad to be part of Gage County. And I guess I would also urge you to any time you want to stop out, please stop out and stop in the office. You want a tour or whatever what we're doing, I'll be glad to take you around and show you all that we have, because we do are very, very proud of the facilities that we have here in Gage County and Beatrice.
Thank you. Danny.
I have a couple of things. Number one, I want to commend you for what you're doing on the Beatrice campus and statewide, Jack. I hope that you'll take the incubation thing to the Education Committee at the legislature so you bring them up to date on what you're doing. I think that's extremely important. And we in Gage County had a meeting of our Building and Grounds Committee yesterday, and as we're talking about trying to preserve our memorial out in the yard of the courthouse, we haven't the funds to completely redo it at this point. And we'd like to ask you, if at all possible, that maybe some of your students, your classes, might look at how you might help us protect that. And I know you visited a little bit, Jack, about the fact that maybe in some of your construction management and your computer things, maybe you could look at a way that we could do that.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner Byers. He did mention that earlier, and Rex did too. And as I thought about this just briefly, one of the things that often happens for us is we have a number of classes in our computer-aided drafting and design program that are looking for projects to work on, real-life projects that's more meaningful to the students if they can work on something that's real. And so I think one of the things we might do is we'll ask Bob to work with our instructors in those programs and see if there would be a class who's interested in doing some design work. So what I'd like to maybe bring back to you is some type of a design enclosure. Don't know what it would be at this point, because we let them think freely about that. But some kind of protective design enclosure that might serve the purposes that you're talking about. And then once we know, or at least have some direction for what you all might like in that regard, then I think we can talk about how we might accomplish that. And for us, it can be all the way from potentially students in classes to actually we have a number of student organizations that are always looking to do community service, community support work. And in fact, our construction program has a club, a student club, where one of their reasons for existing is to go into communities and to help communities build small pieces of infrastructure that help those communities as a service project. So my guess is we can create some energy here to put something together, but we'll try and get started if it sounds okay with you on the design piece.
That's exciting,
and we'll
really.
see where we go from there.
Yeah.
That work?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, so Bob will get that started.
I just got a quick comment. We met with the Economic Development Group and Smart Solutions of Des Moines, Iowa, is trying to help us. And the last meeting, they gave a bunch of data, statistics more than anything, about Gage County and surrounding area. And one of the things that they talked about was the high percent of the people in Gage County that have like a two-year college degree. And then they also mentioned about the fact that going forward into the future, some of the things that they see around the country is the importance of community colleges and the need for those people to help with that education with the technology and everything coming online, and that we're pretty fortunate to have something like that in our area.
Thank you. You've hit on a couple of hot buttons for me personally. One is, and I want you all to be very much aware of this, if you look at our student body, I talked with you earlier about the statistics on the number of graduates and the placement rates and so on, but if you just look at our student body as a whole, about 75% of our students are in our career and technical programs. And that's where a huge part of the workforce needs of the future are going to be, is on that career and technical side. There are certainly good jobs out there for four-year graduates and so on also, but we know the huge part of the workforce that's going to need to be undergirded is that two-year degree career and technical side. That's where 75% of our students are, and that's where we're going to be for the future. So we're very much aligned with that, and our plan is certainly to stay there in that sweet spot, if you will. In terms of economic development, I would just share with you briefly also, and some of you, I'm sure, have heard this nomenclature before, but it started probably about 2 years ago. We were integral participants in what was called a regional innovation grant that was given actually to the WIA area in Lancaster County and Saunders County and the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. But the net result of that study was that the future of economic development for Southeast Nebraska is really closely tied to regionalism. It's no longer the Lincoln Chamber versus the Nebraska City Chamber versus the Falls City Chamber and the Hebron Chamber. What it really is all of those entities and all of the economic development entities working together on a regional basis, because a win in Beatrice is just as big a deal for Lincoln or for Wahoo or for Nebraska City as it is for Beatrice. Now, granted, it may not be quite the same in terms of the demographics, but everybody wins when an economic development entity or prize, so to speak, a new manufacturer, whatever, decides to locate in our region. And so I think one of the things you're going to see that comes out of that study is really some opportunities to start to talk more on a regional basis. And I just hope that all of you as commissioners will be open to those regional kind of discussions. I know they're just on the front edge of trying to start to unroll that. But I really do think that's going to be important for the future of Southeast Nebraska, is if we can work together regionally to make those economic development opportunities come true.
Good.
And we'll be there to be a part of that, I can assure you.
Dr. Lopez, do you have anything to interject on economic development in Southeast? And he sat through the same thing, so.
No, I just appreciate listening to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
We have a timed event at 9:30. We need a motion to close bids at 9:48 for a pickup and SUV.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0.
Enforcement?
Who? Harry's close.
I didn't realize.
I like the way he reads the bids. He has the ability to come up with some really low bids. Use your magic.
The FOP timed event at 9:45. There will be no action. We will wait until the end to do that instead of running you out and then having you come back. So, yeah.
High bids when we're selling. The low bids when we're buying.
Okay. First bid we got here is from Beatrice Ford.
Let me see if I can catch Jack right quick.
You want to do all of
them?
There
should be
two. Yep. There's a bid for one truck, and then there's two different SUV bids. Do we want to read through all these, or are we just going to? offer them? We're going to have law enforcement go through them, and or do we want to read them all out loud?
Refer them to law enforcement? Yep. Is that what you guys are going to want to do?
Well, that's what you're going to do on something that's this technical, where you obviously have several bids on this thing. I would announce who submitted the bids so that at least the public's aware of.
But we're not going to read through everything. Let's just.
I don't think. Well.
Maybe just the price. What if we just read who submitted them, the vehicle, and the price?
Yeah. Is that what you want, Roger?
Well, we need to put a price in the record
for
the public. Just.
Okay. So Beatrice Ford has the one truck bid. And it is for a 2011 or 2012 half-ton truck. And the bid price is $29,325. Okay, their number one bid on the SUV is for a 2000.
This one's a 12, it looks like, pickup.
Okay, on this first bid, it says a 2011 or 2012 midsize 4x4 SUV, but they did put an exception here that said this bid is for a 2013 model year. The bid price on that was $26,582. The second SUV bid from Beatrice Ford is also for a 2013 midsize 4x4. That's a 2013 Explorer, bid price $26,582. Okay, the next group of bids is from Carriage Motors. And it looks like we have one truck bid and two SUV bids there also. The truck bid from Carriage Motors is on a 2012 half-ton. Bid price $27,502.27. The first SUV bid is for a 2012 Chevy Traverse all-wheel drive. Bid price on that is $27,596. The second SUV bid from Carriage Motors is also a 2012 Chevy Traverse all-wheel drive. Bid price $27,596.
And Gary, the reason they're doing the two separate like that was because we wanted to bid on two of them, but we wanted them to know that we might only accept one. That's
right.
Why they're the same and everything.
Okay, the next bid is from Twin Rivers Chevy. Chrysler Jeep Dodge. It is for a 2011 Nitro Heat 4x4. And the bid price is $22,097.71. That was a 2011 Nitro Heat, which would be an SUV.
$22,097.
Get it. The next bid is for a 2011 Dodge Nitro from Twin Rivers, Chrysler Jeep Dodge. And the bid price on that is $22,097.71. The next bid is from Twin Rivers Chrysler. It's for a 1/2-ton pickup, Dodge Ram 1500 SLT quad cab 4x4, and the bid price on that is $26,958.56.
year?
It is a... It says 2012 on the envelope.
Okay.
Okay, the next bid is for a... from Sid Dillon Ford in Crete. And it looks like it is either a 2011 or 2012 half-ton truck. Okay, it is a 2012 Ford F-150, four-wheel drive, Super Crew, 145-inch XLT. And the bid price on that is $28,330. Okay, the next one is from Sid Dillon's Chevrolet. And that is for a 2012 Chevy Silverado 1500 four-wheel drive, crew cab, 143.5-inch LT. The bid price on that one is $26,330. The next one is an SUV bid from Sid Dillon Chevrolet, a 2012 Chevy Tahoe, four-wheel drive, four-door, 1500 commercial. Bid price on that is $28,233. And the final bid that we have is on a 2012 Chevy Tahoe from Sid Dillon Chevy, four-wheel drive, four-door, 1500 commercial, bid price of $28,233.
Do you want to refer these to committee?
I'd make a motion to send those to law enforcement committee to review and make a recommendation for approval.
In today or in?
You need these PDQ?
Yeah. Okay.
Today.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Well, we don't need a motion and seconded to go to committee, to refer them to committee and then come back today. But we got it. We can vote on it. So, vote. 7-0. And Gus, I got a gentleman. You want to introduce your deputy?
No, we'll let her go, and then I have stuff I'll do. And
okay.
Get too excited on me.
I'm getting impatient.
Yeah.
Amber Mulberry, Gage County Sheriff's Office, for third quarter reports. You guys have these?
Yes.
No.
Should have.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have one like this. Just put it in your tray.
Are they still in there?
Yep. No.
I think we got them 2 weeks ago or what? Or
yeah.
Week
oh, is it the
ago.
One from 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Didn't commit it to memory.
Yes, we have them.
Okay.
And Rex's girl.
170 males booked in third quarter, 74 females, 99 felony charges, 292 misdemeanors, 48 others, inmate medical expense totaling $22,488.91. No income for holding prisoners. Fingerprint income, $402.50. Income from inmate phone usage, $1,311. Commissary commission income, $4,295.70. Spent outside housing prisoners, $5,240. So the total lodged was 244. There was 155 sheriff's office arrests, 83 from Beatrice Police Department, 4 from Wymore Police Department, and 2 from the Nebraska State Patrol. There were 58 alcohol-related arrests. Inmate medical expense for third quarter, again, $22,488.91. General care was $7,634.87. And then the rest of that was emergency medical, totaling $14,854.04. $38 was spent on vision and $57 on dental. Questions? Comments?
Thank you.
Morning. Lord Gustafson, Gage County Sheriff. First thing I'd like to do is introduce our newest deputy today. Is Spencer Behrens. Where he's at? There you are. He hails from the Gage County area. He was born and raised here in the Pickerel and Adams area. I think Myron knows him. We were able to... He started out with us as reserve deputy for a short period of time.
Hanover's as deputies
yeah.
now?
I mentioned Ken Folkerts. I said, I can't believe I'm doing this, but we're going to go. He's younger. Okay, I don't know him. Anyway, he came to us about 10 years of experience. He was at Dallas Police Department for about 6 years and Lincoln Police Department for 3. And going through resume, he had quite a few accommodations for those two departments. So I'm very proud to have him here. And he'll be living up there with his wife and children in the Pickerel area, yeah, as I remember correctly, just east. So he'll be able to keep an eye on those folks for us up there. So please welcome him. He just got through the academy, and I think he's all done and ready to go again. So have any questions? Here you go. This is a face to be stopping you. So.
Right, right.
Appreciate you joining Gage yes. County.
Thank you. Any comments you want to make? Or?
No, I'm nothing? From Adams. I went to high school there.
Okay.
And graduated there in 94 and went to Kearney to school out there, UNK. And I've known, Myron's probably known me since I was...
He was well behaved when he was a little older in church. When he was kind of young, he kind of ran the halls.
Yeah. But yeah, that's so,
now he's got a pistol. So
yeah, I know. That's why he's. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. Do you have any questions or anything?
You said he had to go back through the academy, I guess.
Oh, what he does is if you're out for a period of time, which he was, he left. LPD and went to, I think, Creek Carriers. And so when you have a period of time, things like 2 years or more, you're out, you have to what's called a reciprocity type training. And so he had two different weekends, I think he did, in his academy, is what it was.
Yeah. Okay.
And he just did his last one last week. So I got a call last night. Sounds like everything's good to go. So he's full fledged and up and going again. So we don't have any expense there with him other than just our training here and equipping him. So.
Yeah, I just went out there for 2 days and then online. Yeah.
So,
but that was it, yeah.
He's good to go.
So does the new guy get one of the new SUVs?
A new pickup.
Yeah. I bet you would.
Good idea.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss that later, okay? All right.
Okay.
Good, and thanks.
All right.
See you, Spencer.
Yep.
Take care.
Thanks, Spencer.
Thanks.
One quick question for you, Gus. Does that bring you back up to full force or not?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. Unless you want to give me some more.
No. I knew we were short.
I still have one on administrative reassignment until I work through that court and see what's going to happen there. But otherwise, I have all my bodies. Okay. So. Okay, I'll be giving the Sheriff's Office third quarter report for 2011. I don't know if you get a copy of this, Roger, or not.
No,
I can't
no.
remember. I'm sorry. We'll get you one because I think it's important you note on there that... our calls for service are going up every quarter since January, which relates to you being busy as well. So,
can you slow that down or are you?
Yeah. We had 1,930 calls for service this last quarter. We had 75 accidents, 71 citations, 277 warnings, 199 arrests, 411 papers were served, 104 arrest warrants were served. We earned fees of $7,619.99. Mileage earned was $3,999.73. We made $74 on copies of reports. Nothing on distress warrants in full. $1,000 even on partial payments for distress warrants. $3,100 for title inspection fees. 55,386 miles driven on patrol units. 3,580 miles of those were transport miles. Money reimbursed this last quarter was $662.50 on grants. We had one meth lab, eight drug violations. Reserves gave us 4,259 miles and $626.75 hours in their total hours they worked for us on numerous duties. We had 977 billing checks, and of that we had 10 that were open doors. Any questions?
Gary.
Gus, I got a question, not on your report, actually, but on the Federal Hazardous Material Program, fingerprinting program, I've had different people ask me how come Gage County doesn't have any of that business. How come we have to go to Tecumseh or Omaha in order to get fingerprinted for the Hazardous Material Program? Is there a reason, or is it a money-making deal for the sheriff's office, or?
Well, we do quite a few fingerprinting for, especially as I got live scanned, there's only a few of those around the state where you don't have to use ink, you just bring it, put your hand on it, and it ships it automatically right up via the internet. We do a lot for employment. I think what you're talking about is with CDLs, yep, folks like that. They go over to Johnson County, I believe, and I don't know why that is. It's always been like that, and I don't know if that's just something the state does and these are different locations. We've never really even looked into that, I guess. I don't know if it's something we can get here or not. I don't know.
Well, we got the capabilities. I just wonder why we don't capture some of that.
I don't know. I'll check and see on that, because we've never really had that asked before to do it. Is people come to us, and I didn't even know they needed something separate for that until somebody, the old sheriff over in Johnson, wanted an old APHIS machine we had here to go over there to kind of help him on his fingerprinting. So I don't know if that's something they designate from the state or feds, or if that's just something he volunteered. We'll have to check on that and let you know.
Yeah, I know if you go on the hazardous material website, they're listed, but I don't know if that's by designation or.
And it could be. And I mean, you don't make a lot. I mean, we charge, I think it's five or $10 a card here. The state charges a lot more than that. It's a courtesy we do for the public. You know, we probably don't make a ton of money, but we offset a little time for the staff to do it.
I know it'd be nice if I could go here instead of having to drive over to Tecumseh to have it done. I do realize that.
Yeah. Well, I'll check in and I'll find out.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank Jerry, you on time restraints? Need a motion to.
You're on time restraints.
Give me.
We better get moving.
Need a motion placed on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve. We're going to do a 10-minute recess so they can look at bids, and then we have committee reports, and then we'll go into a closed session. So it'll probably be 15 minutes if that's. The clocks are running anyway, so. Hi, Danny. You ready?
I think I'm going to be okay.
You think you're okay, Luke?
Okay, we're going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance. So much for the popcorn. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. First thing is the bids coming out of committee, Myron and Law Enforcement Committee.
We reviewed the bids with Gus and went over them, and we were making the recommendation that we will, from Twin Rivers, we will buy the pickup from Twin Rivers, and that will go through a program that Mark Mites has with Emergency Management.
EMPG
money. And then we'll also do the two Nitros from Twin Rivers for $22,097 each.
Okay. Motion?
That's a motion.
So moved. Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports.
I might talk a little bit about building grounds again, and you all have a copy of the letter that our wonderful county clerk constructed, and we, in our discussion, we felt that we needed to be a little more businesslike as far as the work that we had done here in the courthouse and the requests that we made of our Mr. Jones, and so we can have some control and have some records of what we're doing. So this is being sent to all of the elected officials and department heads, informing them they will now need work forms filled out and submitted to Mr. Jones, and then he can bring those to us, and we'll have it done in a businesslike manner. So I want to thank the committee members who were there yesterday, and I think the input was great. And this will make it easier for Dave, and also I think we'll be more organized as far as we as a board in the courthouse is concerned.
Okay, good.
I want to recommend it.
Terry?
Basically, road and bridge, you see the department activities on that sheet. No need to go into that one. Pretty self-explanatory. The main thing on committee report, though, the Sterling truck that was damaged probably 2 months ago, maybe already, is finally back in service. Galen reported everything's working fine on it, so we've got back in service. We talked about some culverts on Hickory Road that we think we have to, we're obligated to add a culvert up there to a certain landowner.
You kind of want to touch on that, why we owe that culvert?
Basically, when that was drawn up, the landowners on the north side were told they would get a culvert for access to their field at a certain location. And basically, it was never finished up, never done. It wasn't wrote. It was wrote in pencil or verbally agreed to, and it was never followed through. And as we toured it, we went up and looked at it. It probably is necessary. The west quarter especially has no access from that road to get to his field. So I think he needs access. I think that's common practice. You would get one access and a quarter mile distance to your field. And we'll probably act on that and go ahead. And we already decided we're going to approve that probably. And when Galen gets back, and Galen is off on leave for now for a little while, but there's two people in charge in his absence. Exactly when he'll get back, I'm not certain. So.
Okay. All right. Any other committee reports? I want to touch on, I read the insurance and risk transfer manual for contracts and agreements, what NIRMA recommends. And I think we need to make sure we're following some of this, because I don't know if we have snow routes that you can easily identify. I just kind of flagged some of the things. Department of Roads snow removal plan and policies, where it's black and white on what roads go first, if there's an emergency on what end of the county. Temporary fencing notice and letters to landowners. There's just some things in here that I just don't know if we've done it. Center pivot notice, I mean, on the highway department. I just think we need to check up on some of these. But it's just kind of one of these, and I don't know if it goes insurance, goes to road and bridge first to make sure we're doing it, but or if you can kind of even run copies so we can highlight them to make sure we are following up on them.
And I think, Roger, you got one of these I brought for
mm-hmm.
you, right?
Yep.
But looking at it, I don't believe we are following what our insurance carrier is recommending. So, is there any other committee reports? If not, I would like a motion to go into a closed session for an FOP update. And then also there will be a short security issue that was brought up yesterday afternoon addressed on it also. No action will be taken coming out.
Correct. Can you add to that motion for the protection of the public interest?
For the protection of the public interest.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Also, meeting is the 13th next time instead of the 14th, and committee meetings will be the 9th.
Committee meetings will be the Friday then.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't reach it. We'd have to get it.
Move to come out.
Moved by Lytle to come out of executive session.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 11:16. Okay, and we will...